Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Archer World podcast. I'm Joe Malicote. I'm the owner of Archer World. And today, Henry's gone today. He's working at the Battleground location for us. But today, I'm with Corey Miller. He's the rep of Darton Archery and Black Eagle Arrows. So welcome to the show, Corey.
Thank you, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So Corey and I, to give you a little history, we've known each other for a long time, well over 15 years. He was the owner, previous owner of Triple X Archery. He started out with a buddy, Dustin, and eventually Dustin sold out to him, and Corey ran the shop by himself for the last few years that he had it. And not far from us. So we were competitors, but unlike some, we're not cutthroat competitors. It's archery. We want the community to grow. So we always work together to try to make that happen. So tell us a little bit about the history of you starting shooting, Corey, and kind of lead us to where you're at right now.
Yeah. Well, I think I was, about 13, and my best friend at the time, him and his dad bow hunted, and I'd go over there and shoot bows, and I came home and I said, I want a bow, and I got a bow for my birthday. Kind of self-taught back then. That's kind of about all you could do, because definitely there was no internet. Shot fingers and basically bare bow, and then graduated to a release and graduated to a sight, and then went to an archery tournament at Chinook Archers in Vancouver. And that really what kind of just kicked it all off for me. The hunting side was neat and fun, but you know, I did come from a hunting family, so but competition was in my blood, being a boxer for many years of my life as a kid, and doing sports, track and field, and I just liked competing. And when I found out I could compete in archery, things started going different, where I was buying bows and target bows and doing all that, and then just got really into the tuning and shooting side of stuff. And then the next thing you know, I opened up an archery shop. And then the next thing you know, 15 years later, I worked for a bow manufacturer, and now here today, I'm working for an arrow and a bow manufacturer, and just living my dream, all off of one day in a backyard. You never know where it will take you.
That's true. Well, yeah, for sure. And you say you're not much of a hunter, but I know you've killed a lot of good bulls and a lot of good bucks, and well, much more than I have. Well, so I'm a hunter. Yeah, I think you're more of a killer.
I'm more of a hunter. I am nowadays. Yeah. No, I usually bought an elk tag because, you know, like, oh, if it's brown, it's down, you know, just in case I saw one. But I didn't understand elk, and it wasn't, you know, deer was my main thing. And then when I heard my first bull bugle in the wild, it was like, oh boy.
Yeah,
that hurts. And so now I'm definitely more of a hunter than I am a target archer now, just mainly because of, you know, living your dream doesn't give you all the freedom to actually shoot and practice what it takes to be at that level of competition. I'll still go shoot some competition just because I love the family out there. But yeah, no, hunting is where, you know, you miss work, and you will, you know, that time of year is only once, and September is very short. So hunting's big on my plate now.
Yeah. Well, and so to explain a little bit of the, like, we hear a little bit of a rough connection on your side. Corey now just moved to Montana. So you're in Montana right now, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And so I'm in Washington, just above Olympia in our Lacey location. So if it's coming in a little spotty, that's fine, because we can still pick up everything that you're saying. So
I'm not sure if I can switch over to just my phone, or I'm on my car right now.
No, I think you're good. It just, okay. Explaining that we're not sitting right next to each other.
Yeah. Okay.
So, let's talk about, Black Eagle for a minute. And then we're going to talk about, Randy, the owner of Black Eagle, buying, Darton, and then, what's happening with that. And then we'll go back to Black Eagle. So on the Black Eagle line, you've been carrying it. You kind of help introduce Black Eagle to the Northwest. So you, as Triple X, you started carrying it years ago. We carried a small amount in our shops, in our couple of shops that we had, but we didn't carry it in any mass quantity because we weren't sure of it. And we really vet out the vendors before we do that so that we're just not selling stuff that's not good quality. But we soon found out, like you did, that Black Eagle is not only legit, it's a high quality arrow. So let's go into the history, that your and Randy's history, and kind of how that relationship built and how it puts you where you're at today.
Yeah, I was one of his first few dealers, I believe. And for a while there, I was one of his top three dealers in the nation. As you know, but that being said, I mean, we were just, you know, getting Black Eagle off the ground. So, but yeah, I got introduced to the arrow, and I just saw such a great value of consistency in the arrow and the cost of the arrow. And then dealing with the company was kind of, you know, it wasn't so commercialized. And, you know, when I called, I talked to Randy, and we built a great bond and a friendship for many of those years. It wasn't just a business relationship. So, you know, and now here I am working for him, and couldn't be happier. It's kind of been a dream come true on that end.
So when, before you sold Triple X, which was not so long ago, it was just, it was way less than a year ago.
It's been two. We're really getting old, Joe. They go by fast.
Golly. I really thought it was like 8 months ago. Well, anyways, about it. What was your main arrow that you sold out of there from Black Eagle? I assume it's the same as mine, but I want to hear what you thought it was.
Mainly it was the Rampage.
Yeah, by far.
204 diameter shaft. You know, it was a lightweight shaft and very straight, very consistent. I like the X-Knock. I like everything about that arrow. The components back then were just all aluminum half outs, and then we've graduated to a stainless steel half out, and now we have another option, which is our Focus system, which is a three-part system, which I prefer on that arrow. Makes that arrow almost indestructible. And it's replaceable. So if you did hit something hard enough to bend one, you can actually replace it. Take this as screw and take it off and put a new one on.
Yeah, and it's the only arrow like that that you can index. So like once you glue in inserts or half outserts into a carbon arrow, typically you're stuck. And if they're stainless steel, like the bone crushers are, then it's so hard to get a broadhead to index around to your veins so that you can tune it and align it. That focus system allows you to loosen a screw, turn the system to the direction you want it and relock it down. And then you can tune your broadheads in the direction that you want them pointing when they come out of the bow, which can help with planing on certain bows that might have more of an issue with that.
Yeah.
And on the target side, outdoor target, by far the most influential arrow that they've ever made out there is the X Impact. It's a great hunting arrow too. We sell a lot for that, but I know the X Impact is an excellent target arrow. I mean, you see them on podiums all the time. And then on the fat shafts, you've got your everything from, well, it depends on what style of shooting you're doing, anywhere from PS23s all the way up to PS27s, and you can run any kind of components that you want up front as far as weight goes. So they've got the whole gauntlet covered, and they're, if you look at any YouTube channels of any kind of finals, there's a high probability that you're going to find Black Eagle on the podium. Now, it's not always the arrow, but we know that's a contributing factor to it. So what do you got as far as your, what, let's go over your setup as far as what you do for hunting and then what you do for indoor target and outdoor target.
Hunting setup this year, just mainly because it's an arrow I haven't hunted with. I'm going to hunt with a carnivore, which is our 245 arrow, standard diameter shaft. and I'm going to run a 46 grain brass regular insert in there with a 125 kudu point. Total arrow weight is going to come in right around 440. Out of the current bow, I'm setting up right now at about 65 pounds to 67 pounds. It should shoot around 280.
And your draw length?
29.
Okay.
And for the longest time, my go-to, like I say, was the Rampage. And mm-hmm. I usually would pull more poundage, you know, and maybe shot a little bit faster bows. So I always wanted to shoot around 400 or 380 or 280 feet per second. And so my arrow weight on that Rampage would always come in right around that 480 grains with that focus system. So that was, you know, just would put me at the speed I wanted. But now I'm going to pull a little bit less poundage and just kind of drop that arrow weight down a little bit. And still
sure. That's funny you mentioned that. That's kind of my happy speed too, is at that 275 to 285 range. I certainly typically don't mind shooting a little slower if I'm got the setup that's pounding, but I don't like to shoot faster than 285 because difficulties come when it comes to getting broadhead impacts, you know, to be where you want them to, and the expectations kind of ramp up and your mistakes do too.
And you and I both hunt Idaho, which is, I think, the last state and the only state that requires a fixed head, which, mm-hmm. you know, that's not a big deal to me because I like fixed heads. But if, you know, now that I'm in Montana, we can use an expandable there, and I will probably play with that a little bit, but I'll definitely maybe get the speed up a little bit faster if I was to do that, but I'm still on the fence. I really want to see some, talk to some other folks who have actually shot, you know, expandable on elk.
Sure.
A little bit more, but I don't have any problem getting my fixed heads to shoot and shoot well. So it's kind of one of those things where they broke by fix it.
Right.
280 seems to do me well. And anymore, I don't shoot much over 40 yards on an elk anymore. And so I just not sure if I need it.
Right. Well, and ironically, the lightest I'd ever shot an elk with was like, and this was questionably light to me, but I still took it hunting and I did well. I was shooting 62 pounds, so I had lowered my arrow weight to just below 400 grains, which is pretty light for elk. And I blew right through a bull and lost my arrow out the backside. And that was a Rampage with an aluminum insert back when the aluminums first came out, or that outsert was the only option. Now, since then, I've hunted with a slew of different arrows, but I'm going to go to the Rampage this year because that's going to segue to the next part of what I want to talk about, is what bow you're shooting. Because after I shot that bow, I wanted to take it hunting, and I was like, well, if we're going to give it its test, let's get it out in the field, right? That's what every manufacturer wants to do. Now, I'm sure Randy, and as the owner of Darton Archery now, has got it in the right strategic hands to put some, you know, a lot of horns on the ground. I've ordered mine through you as soon as I shot yours, and because I thought it was going to be a good shooting bow. It's one of the smoothest shot cycle bows that I've shot. When I say that, I mean the shot execution, that feedback that you get, it's a really dead bow when you shoot it, and it's all revamped. Let's talk about that. What bow is it that you're shooting and that I'm waiting on?
Yeah, it's the Spectra 32E. So we've had the Spectra out before. It was shared the same handle as our Maverick, which was a 33-inch axle-to-axle bow. And kind of discussing the two bows, you know, the Maverick's a great bow, but I felt like we needed to actually separate the Spectra and the Maverick more so than just in a cam system, which is our E system. So, you know, Randy just decided to, even though we made the bow shorter, we made the riser 2 inches longer. So there, you know, the axle to axle number, I think a lot of people get hung up on that magical axle to axle number.
They do.
And, you know, I wish maybe if manufacturers would start giving riser lengths, because the riser, the length of that riser, I feel is more important on the stability of the aim of a bow than necessarily an axle to axle.
Well, and that's been proven, right? So you get bows now that are 30 inches long, but it's got a 27-inch riser. And that bow shoots like a 34, 35-inch bow of 10 years ago. And that's kind of what you're describing there is a long increasing the length of the riser creates a mass of weight in the middle of the bow, and it doesn't want to move a lot. And so you can get a shorter axle bow that will shoot like a longer axle bow does. And anybody that shoots these longer mountain challenges and attacks and Northwest Mountain Challenge and the top pin shoots, they shoot longer shots on the mountain. So they get to see and experience how those hunting bows perform now. And it is dramatic. So that I think he's for sure with your advice and advice he's probably gotten from others too, moving in the right direction with that. That's why I'm interested in it as well. So it's kind of neat to watch that evolve.
Yeah. The word shoot, you know, shootable, you know, that's one thing. If we put any of these bows, however they're made in a machine, they'll all shoot and they'll all shoot in the same hole. They're all very consistent. But when we talk about this bow shoot, you know, it's a shootable bow. Really, me and you are talking about how well does a bow hold for us as a human? How does it aim? And that's really what makes that bow shootable. So when you get a really small handle, the bow will still shoot and shoot very well, but it's harder for us to make it sit still and hold on target. And so when we start getting into certain geometries of risers, deflex, reflex, grip positions in the bow, makes the bow more shootable for us, the human.
Yeah.
So we lengthened out the riser and laid the limbs back, which then got us a shorter axle number, 2-inch longer handle. Laying the limbs back really helped with, you know, that shot feel, and then making the riser 2 inches longer gave us that much more stable platform of aiming. We also changed the material that we're building the bow out of to a 7075 aluminum. The braceite, I can't remember if it got smaller or shorter, but it's at 6 1/8-inch braceite, which has given us IBO speeds of 335 to 340. So we made the riser a little bit wider, widened up the grip just a little bit, and we widened out the limbs and the limb pockets, which that wider limb pocket stance is the other factor that helps make a bow kind of hold well at full draw and a little bit more consistent.
So going on to the Spectra 32E, E represents the cam. This cam design on the Darton is unique to anything in the industry. The return, it's yoked system on both sides of the cam, but a normal yoked cable runs to the opposite cam and then connects on a return track that counteracts what the string does. On their system, on this E system, the yoke runs to a pulley, just like it, imagine Matthews or the PSE that runs to a yoke, their soft yoke or floating yoke runs to a secondary yoke again, and then it gets connected to the cable. This one goes through a pulley, and then it goes straight back to the same cam on the return track. And what I've noticed when I'm shooting the bow is there's a little bit of extra limb movement at the last part of the draw that I feel like that gives that bow a little bit more energy. And I think it's unique to them, and I don't think it's like a gimmick. It's for sure causing something to happen in my mind that makes things happen a little bit differently in a bow than the classic setup. So that's a really neat feature that I think they've got.
Yeah. So a typical yoke system, what I would call more of a hard yoke, it's putting all the pressure on those two yokes, you know, so all your pressure is going to go to a certain spot, whether or not that yoke goes like on a PSE or a Matthews goes back to the axle really, or to the cam or like on like a Bowtech overdrive, it would go back out to the axle, at the end of the axles. So it's putting pressure into those two specific spots, where with our system, because it goes to the cam and then goes through that pulley and then back out to the outside of the axles, it's spreading that load all the way across the axle. So now we're putting load in the middle of the cam and we're putting load on the outside of the axle. So that spreads that out and it changes the draw cycle. And then it also gives us the ability of yoke tuning.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I think is still probably the nicest, especially as a shop owner. You know, we're not tearing the bow down. We're not pulling axles out of the bow, shimming it over. And it's not, you know, there's some other ones out there where the, you know, the cam can move. And I, so far it's been very stable, but it's always that question, you know, is something coming loose and moving, you know, mechanically with a string system like that, you know, it's going to stay stable and you can correct it a lot quicker and easier. So I prefer that system working, you know, on other bows through the shops. It tunes out really well. I think when we were at the shop there with you and we shot, we got a little left tear and I put 2.5 twist in the top and the bottom on the left side and boom, shot a bullet.
Yep.
Being that, well, it does float, it tends to react a little slower than some of the others, because it's not a hard system. So, you know, like in another bow, you might only, for that same correction, I might have only put a turn into a yoke. But on ours, I went ahead and put 2.5 because it reacts a little bit slower.
Sure. Yeah, as far as like what you put in, what you give it as input is the twist isn't quite as, it doesn't change as much as something that would be a classic hard yoke.
Yep.
Now, so the bow lineup, do you have that? Can you go over that a little bit on the hunting side as we're approaching 2022? And I know, Randy, this release of this Spectra, is it, it's officially released, right?
Yep. Yep.
And it's a mid-year release, and that's going to run through 2022, obviously, with very minimal changes, if any. Now, you can't ever say companies never make an inline change because they're always trying to make their product better. So Tom will tell on that. The rest of the bow lineup, what are you coming out with that you can talk about for 2022 and what's out there right now?
Yeah, definitely. I believe we're going to have something coming for 2022. Nothing that I can really speak too much on. What I'm hoping and trying to push for would probably, you know, something, you know, just common sense wise of knowing the market, it would be something longer. You know, right now we kind of really focused on taking what we have and kind of making some cleanup changes, material changes, and I think we're on the right path with what we've changed on our target bow, the Tempest, and with the Spectra. We've, you know, widened out the grips, widened out the limb pockets, widened out the limbs, went to quarter inch axles, so that was all good improvements. But as far as hunting bows, we have a Cyclone and a Maverick. The Maverick is actually going through some inline change right now because the popularity of the new grip on the Spectra and the Tempest has been so huge that we went ahead and we're going to go ahead and widen that grip out onto the Maverick.
Well, yeah. And when you find that sweet spot and what appeases the most amount of hunters or target shooters, then you're going to run with that until there's something else that you find that's working a little bit better. And that, when I shot it, it immediately fit my hand really well. And it seems to be when, the more I shoot, I've got one of the target models too I'm playing with right now too. It seems to be no matter what position I goof my hand off to, trying to create a little bit of torque tune, it doesn't show up right and left near as much as it had before. And I've always struggled with my hand because I broke my left hand when I was in Iraq. And as things kind of mended and healed themselves, my grip changed a little bit. And I've struggled with right and left. And I noticed that through alignment when I'm first at full draw, you know, but this bow seems to kind of settle in my hand so fast. I'm not sure exactly what's causing it, but it settles in my hand so fast that I don't have the right and left that I used to have, which is a huge benefit for me. So
yeah,
as we're planning on moving forward as a company, as Archery World, we'll carry Darton next year, and we're carrying them now, but we just don't have any quantities in right now because we're kind of, you know, just kind of finishing these like we say, we vet the stuff out as much as we can, and I've been really satisfied with it. Now, what I'd like the audience to know is I don't get these bows for anything. I pay for them, and I ask to pay for them, even though you as a rep might say, oh, I can get one in your hand, or you know, a million reps say that to us because they want us to carry the product. We just don't go down that road because I personally feel like that would influence me. I'm not saying in a bad way, but it would influence me in a way that, what if I don't like it? Now I feel like I'm obligated to shoot it and I don't want to. What if it's not as good as you say it is, you know? So I like to buy them from you, or from whatever manufacturer that we're looking to carry that product from, and then shoot them. And that's what we've done here. So I've been nothing but satisfied with what I've seen so far. Darden has been around for, oh gosh, I can't even begin to guess.
I think it's 50 years.
Yeah. They're out of Michigan.
Michigan.
We call them, if you're on the west side of the Rockies, we call them an East Coast company. It's not necessarily the truth, but we call them an East Coast company. So they didn't really cross over the Rockies in with name and advertising with any kind of popularity for the time since I've had my shop. Now, we've always known what Darden was and who they are. We've set up a lot and worked on them, but we've never carried them, and you don't see any shops carrying them on the West Coast. But I think that's going to change. I don't think Randy's the kind of guy that won't put the time and effort it takes into getting them on the West Coast because he knows what he's got. And with the changes that are being made, it's senseless not to explore that possibility of another great shooting bow for whatever shop might be out there. So that's your plug, but that's that free of charge, because I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
So, as far as your plans, let's kind of go over, now that your job has changed, now you're all corporatized is what I joke with you about. You know, you don't run a shop, so now you're corporate. So what's the schedule look like? You know, you're a regional rep. You moved to Montana to be a little bit more centrally located and to get away from all the
I don't know if I don't think I got any better. No. I'm sorry. Because I cover California, Hawaii, Alaska, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Montana.
So you moved as far east in that zone as you could.
Yeah, I didn't want to be in the middle no more. I wanted to be on one side.
Yeah, well, I can't blame you for that.
So the schedule will be, you know, definitely the beginning of the year again, like normal, right after ATA show. Hopefully have stuff launched and, you know, make a good push throughout all the states and see a bunch of dealers. The aero side of the stuff, you know, it's usually not as much travel or not as much time into that as it is with the bow side. So getting the bow side is definitely going to take more boots on the ground. You're really going to put bows in people's hands. And at the ATA show, we've both been there for so long. It's hard because you're going 100 miles an hour and you're trying to see so much stuff. You got so much stuff on your mind to really break down some of those decisions. It's definitely nice to be in your environment, actually have a couple more ears and eyes to look at the product, touch it, feel it, play with it at your convenience. So a lot of times, you know, shops will like, hey, yeah, you're going to be here. Okay, cool. I'm going to call in my staff guy so I can get their opinions on what they think of it. You know, other people that are, you know, people that help out in their shops, you know, so you've got a good shooting staff and you trust their opinions on stuff. And so a lot of times, you know, if I'm coming out there, you'll have that set up with those guys. So we can, you know, you can't do that at the ATA show. We can only take so many people. So after that, I'll do that good travel, and then just a lot of on the phone stuff, calling and taking orders and helping people out on questions, a lot of question stuff.
All right,
especially on the aero thing, you know, because a lot of the aeros right now, you know, there's such a push on FOCs and aero weight. So a lot of dealers trying to maybe get caught up on this, like, okay, well, what in your aero arsenal, the arrows that you guys carry, how can I achieve this type of a weight for this type of a bow and poundage, you know, what arrow would you recommend? So I get a lot of those questions and stuff.
Sure. Yeah, we've thought about putting a sign at the front of our shop. There'll be a $25 service charge if you talk about FOC for more than 5 minutes. because there's so many YouTube videos out there about if you're not shooting 27% or you're not shooting 175 grains up front. And we all go through those trials and errors, and it works. I mean, what is out there does work. But yeah. That's not practical for every person. You know, purposes, you know, there's a lot of variables.
Yeah. Going back to like what you'd said, you know, I've killed elk at as light as 360 grains and I've killed them at 560 and everything in between that. And not one of them died any deader than the other one.
Yeah.
After both spectrums, the really heavy, slow arrow and the really light, fast arrow, I still come right back down to that middle ground of anywhere from about 440. For me, at my poundage and my draw length, for me, about 440 to 490 grains is kind of that magical spot that I like to be in. And so each guy, you know, if I had a longer draw length, that might start out at 465 to 510.
Well, naturally, the arrow is going to get a little bit more carbon on it as it gets stiffer, so you can find heavier grains per inch carbon. And then the components, obviously, sometimes they're standard sizes or standard weights, and sometimes you can get heavy components to weigh that out. There's a lot of companies, including Black Eagle, that allows you to screw brass inserts into the back of the insert that's in there to create more FOC without changing the spine or without having to do anything dramatic to the setup. Now, as you do that, a lot of times you have to go to a stiffer arrow when you start putting weight up front. And so just be aware of that. My sweet spot for arrow for me, because I'm shooting a 28 to 28 and a half inch draw, depending on the bow. My sweet spot for me is around 420 to 440. And if I'm getting a bow that's shooting really fast, then I can shoot up to around 475, 480 on the grains. I base mine off the exit speed of the arrow. If I can get and achieve 275 to 280, I can foresee the arrow flight because I've shot it for long enough that I can tell what it's going to get over and what it's going to get under in the woods, you know, branches and down trees and everything else wise. That helps me see the arrow flight path. And then, of course, we know these bows are so overkill compared to when you first started your shop and I started mine. What Kinetic Energy was doing versus what it's doing now. The average bow back then in the early 2000s, if you shot a 70-pound bow, the average bow shot about 56 to 62 foot-pounds per kinetic energy with sometimes aluminum arrows, sometimes carbon arrows. And as we move into this world that we live in today, it's almost always pound for pound. If you're shooting 70, you expect to get 70 plus pounds of kinetic energy all the way up into the 90 to 100 sometimes. So these bows are really producing a lot more speed and a lot more kinetic energy than they used to. That makes a huge difference to begin with. So to get caught too much up in it, doesn't make sense because I've been killing elk for about, I'd say people have been killing elk for about 40,000, 50,000 years. I don't know, whenever, you know, man started walking the earth, they were using something. And then bows came about and they've been doing it at, you know, 35 foot-pounds of kinetic energy and still do it at 35 or 40 pounds of kinetic energy with a traditional bow. If you're hitting them in the right spot. So this bow, and the reason I say that is because this bow seems like it's going to be stable enough that it's going to make the shooter more accurate in the aspect that, you know, a little bit of flinch or a little bit of movement, I'm not saying is a good thing, but I'm saying you always want a product that can hide that. So if I can shoot, a bow that's not going to make me miss as much, when I make a mistake, that's going to be a plus in my arsenal.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all these things to help minimize our mistakes. So if my mistake, you know, at 40 yards is 6 inches away from the dot or 6 inches, you know, to where I've got a little bit more forgiving setup with the tunability of the bow or the stability of the bow, or the arrow itself. And that mistake is now only 4 inches instead of 6 inches. You know, that's huge. I'll take that all day long. So just trying to find that sweet spot that, you know, there is no magic. You know, it's like, oh man, I was clear over there when it broke and it went into the middle. If that happened, then what's going to stop it from doing that when you do it in the middle?
Right.
So,
or if you're,
you only want that to shoot behind the pin.
Well, that's for sure. And your yoke system that's on that, the neat thing about that is you can kind of tune that out for you, right? So there's starting points from the factory that they're going to set as neutral as they can. But let's say you're always blowing out and your misses are left, and they're always left. Your center or left. You rarely shoot right. Well, you can tune that out of the bow by putting a little bit of cam lean in one side or the other to the yoke, which allows you to do that. Now, everybody's got their system on how it works now. Companies have realized that you need that system so that you can tune that out. And that makes a big difference to how forgiving a setup could be for the person.
Yep.
Just makes it that much more simple when you have that yoke system that you have. So it's going to be pretty quick. Now, you'll need a bow press. So you're going to, you know, your shop that you buy it from is going to most likely be able to put a twist in it for you to go try. So it's not a overnight thing and it's done. And everybody, I think, that's been shooting any amount of time realizes it takes a minute to get a bow set up. So you're going to go out to the range a few different times to make it more forgiving each time.
Mm-hmm.
Pros will tell you too. I mean, they'll finish a competition where they won and they still go home and make adjustments to their bow. Now, well, why would you think they do that? Because they want it to be even more forgiving, you know?
Yep.
So you've been shooting a long time, Corey. I'm glad you took the time to talk about this. And let's kind of wrap up with your indoor setup for what you're going to use this fall and maybe some of the shoots that you might make it to. And I'm sure you'll be wearing Darton jerseys from now on, huh?
Yeah, yep. Indoor, I'm going to shoot a Tempest T37-inch bow with the E system on it. It's a smaller version of that cam that's on the Spectra, but same yoke tunability system on it, a 37 and a quarter inch axle bow, open window faced bow. I'll shoot the PS27s. You know, I'm not going to give anybody an advantage to shoot a bigger arrow. So I'll shoot a 27. As far as shoots, I just got an invite to a already for an indoor shoot. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We haven't even got done hunting yet. I'll definitely shoot a couple. You know, we've got some good shoots in the Northwest there in Oregon, Washington. So I'll come out, probably weather permitting, but most likely I'll figure out how to get there, but I'll shoot a couple of those. Definitely plan on Vegas, and then Reading, and then all, you know, depending on dates and everything like that. But I do want to shoot some of the outdoor stuff too again, like maybe the TAC and Big Sky because it's in Montana, some of the mountain challenges. But you know, there's just not enough weekends anymore.
Yeah,
but definitely I'll be back, you know, to, you know, see all my friends and families back in Oregon and Washington and shoot some of those local shoots there.
Well, that's good. We'll see you out at some of them. Oh, and now that we're mentioning shoots, I'm not going to I'll do a selfless plug for us and invite you to this. We are introducing the Archery World Classic this year. It's three shoots. It's a triple crown, so if you make all three of them, you're in there for buckle, you know, a silver buckle and also a little bit of extra bonus cash. But our total purse for all three shoots is going to be upwards of and passing $18,000. So it'll be a Lancaster style shoot late October, and then again in November, and then again in December. If people are out there and they're looking for something to shoot that they'll make a little bit of money on or have fun or have that high pressure competition, this does it. And you're used to, and you've seen shoots just like this, too, Corey. So it'll be right up your alley where X's are 11s. So if you can shoot more in the middle, you get a little bit of extra points, you know, so, that'll be a pretty fun shoot. I've been to Lancaster a couple of different times, because I don't get to go to Vegas very often for my other obligations. So that became my version of Vegas for a high pressure indoor shoot. And they throw on a great shoot over there. So we wanted to mimic that on this side of the the mountains of the Rockies. So we're trying to do something in that in a much smaller venue because it's a brand new shoot to us. So we're hoping that you can get to come out to that.
Yeah, most definitely. That style of shooting is definitely a lot more personal. Of like, Vegas is so huge, you just get lost. You're one of 1,000 people standing on the line just shooting arrows. And you know, when you go into that head-to-head shoot-off in a Lancaster style, the pressure and the personal side of that is a total different side of archery. Mental game is different when it's head-to-head versus just getting lost or standing on the line with, you know, you look on one side and there's 100 people on that side and another couple hundred on the other side. You're just like, I'm just going to shoot arrows. So you can sometimes get, you know, comfortable where the Lancaster, it's hard to get comfortable there.
Yeah, it seems to be, you know, and so I've missed a cut just by a couple of points, a couple of different times, maybe 2 points and then 4 points. And that's, those are X's that you're missing, you know. So it's a shoot where you can shoot a nine by your, oh man, I can't believe I did that. But you can still come right back because you can shoot a bunch of 11s, you know, a bunch of X's and then be right back in there. So now you're really not out until you're out, and then it's bracketed. So you get, to if you make the brackets, you get to shoot up all the way up into that final. So anyway, I don't want to take up any more of your time, Corey. I really appreciate you giving us a rundown, and look forward to seeing what Darton does for 2022. We'll be carrying them in the shop, and like I said, I'm gonna take this bow hunting if it comes in time and get it go. And I'll be honest about the feedback I give you and then, you know, our customer base, but I would not even entertain it if I didn't think it was going to be a shooter. And we've been pretty successful on vetting those out before they ever even come through the door.
Yep. Well, I appreciate you inviting me on. I appreciate your support of the products and everything. And and I wish you luck on your hunt this year. And we'll talk some more definitely before then. But, well, I appreciate the invite, and it was fun.
No problem at all. And for anybody out there that needs to know where to find us or wants to hit us with a question, you can look up our website, archeryworld.net. You can contact me at joe@archeryworld.net. And our Instagram is archeryworld pro shop. So if you have any questions, shoot them out to us. We'll try to cover whatever topic that you want to talk about. And until next time, we'll see you.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks. We'll talk to you later.